And welcome to another edition of the On the Rocks podcast. I'm Patrick Saunders, Rockies beat writer for the Denver Post. Well, we're in the middle of May, and the Rockies so far have been nothing if not interesting. Here we have a team that's winning on the road, losing at home, pitching, for the most part, pretty darn well, not hitting a lick, unless you count Nolan Arenado, Charlie Blackmon, and DJ LeMahieu, and occasionally Trevor Story. Yet here they are, close to the top in the NL West behind the Arizona Diamondbacks, have not played nearly as good a baseball as we would have thought they might, and they're still in the hunt. I can't help but think if the Rockies' offense had reached anything close to our expectations, they'd actually be in front in the NL West. As we all know, they've never won a division title in their first 25 years of existence. You got to think this might be their chance. The Dodgers don't look particularly good. The Giants are maybe better than I thought they'd be, but they aren't a powerhouse by any means. Diamondbacks started out incredibly hot, and now they've slumped, and now they're going through their own injury bugs. So I guess what I'm saying, if the Rockies can get their act together, the NL West is there for the taking. And I don't see two wild cards in a division winner coming out of the NL West this year. To get to the playoffs in the NL West, it appears you're going to have to win the division. So that's what faces the Rockies. In our first segment, we have a special guest, and that is young outfielder David Dahl. The 24-year-old sat down in San Diego and talked with my colleague Kyle Newman. He talked about the Rocks' hitting woes, but he mostly talked about his journey to get to the big leagues. Of course, we all know he had that ruptured spleen in AA. Last year, he missed all of the season in the big leagues and most of the minor league season because of that stress reaction injury in his rib. It was an odd injury. It was problematic. It hung on forever. David finally seems healthy, and although he's been striking out too much, he certainly flashes talent. In my opinion, he's like a young Carlos Gonzalez. He might be the Rockies' best all-around outfielder right now if you combine speed, throwing arm, etc. So it'll be fun to see if David Dahl makes the most of his opportunity. And Kyle Newman sits down and has a terrific conversation with David Dahl. So stay tuned for that. And then in the final segment, I will have my Rockies Hit and Run, where I take a look at about 10 topics about the Rockies right now, the good, the bad, the ugly, and the possible. So please stay with us. Coming up next, Kyle Newman interviews Rockies outfielder David Dahl. You're listening to the On the Rocks podcast.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for listening to the On the Rocks podcast. I am sports writer Kyle Newman here in San Diego as the Rockies taking on the Padres for a two-game set. And for this week's segment, we got David Dahl on the show. David, thanks for coming on and settling into the big league season here now. I'll just jump right in with it. How does this offense kind of get going, cut down on the strikeouts, and you'll become the offense we all know you can be?
I think we just don't need to put pressure on ourselves. Just need to go out every day, have fun, play the game the right way. Just try to put together quality at bats and, you know, execute situations when they're given to us. I think we, as a team, need to do a better job with runners in scoring position. You know, just putting the ball in play, including me. Just trying to have good at bats and just keep battling.
And, of course, I mean, you mentioned that runners in scoring position, that's got to improve. But what is it about maybe even your approach with two strikes, or, you know, when you find yourself maybe striking out a couple times in a game, do you shorten up? Do you be more aggressive early in the count? Yeah. What's your thoughts?
I think for me, it's when I start thinking about striking out. Like, you know, when you start striking out a lot, you go up there not wanting to strike out, then you end up striking out. So I think, you know, it's something you can't think about too much. You just got to go up there and hit and keep your approach, and then with two strikes shorten up or do whatever you can to put the ball in play. But, you know, like I said, for me early on especially, you know, I struck out a few times, and then it kind of got in my head where I was striking out a lot,
right?
And, you know, I was like, I want to go up there and not strike out instead of just going up there and hitting.
Again, folks, Kyle Newman alongside David Dahl on the On the Rocks podcast. Thanks for listening in. And David, want to talk about a little bit about your journey to the big leagues. I know obviously had some injuries along the way. Take me inside when you first broke through. You had that 17-game hit streak to tie the record. Mm-hmm. Dahl mania, you know. Has that, in retrospect, you know, considering some of the things you've gone through since then to get back to this point, what has that done for that moment or that kind of first taste of the big leagues for you in your memories?
Yeah, it's something I think about all the time, you know, how great I was feeling at the plate coming up, especially from AAA. That was probably the best I ever hit. And just carrying that over into the, you know, when I made my debut and everything, just mm-hmm. kind of got my confidence going, knew that I could, you know, I could play up here. And so it's something that I just try to, you know, I watch a lot of video on that year just to see if there's any differences or anything like that. And it's more like, I feel like mechanics are all the same. It's more just kind of your thought process and your mm-hmm. approach.
And throughout your career with those injuries I mentioned, whether it's the spleen or the rib last year, I mean, did doubt ever creep into your mind where you thought, man, like, I'm just not getting a fair shake at it here?
Yeah, I mean it was tough last year because it just didn't, the rib never really healed, never gave it enough time, and the team was winning up here. I wanted to come back and, you know, try to play through it. So there was a point where I just said, you know, I'm going to play through this even if it hurts, and then went to AAA, and I just couldn't. You know, after a while of playing every day, it just got to the point where I couldn't move again, so we had to just shut it down. And it was very frustrating, you know, because I wanted to be up here to help the team. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, with the spleen injury, that was just like a freak thing. It's something that I never really had any doubts about that. But this off season, it was, you know, worked out hard, got strong again. But there was a little, you know, I didn't really swing until couple of weeks before spring, so yeah. It was a long time of not swinging, and you know, every day I was wondering if it was still gonna hurt. And then once I started swinging, I didn't feel it, then I was good to go.
And so tell me about how you're kind of settling into this season, obviously kind of platooning at those corner outfield spots, Parra, Cuevas, Cargo, and you, like, how do you kind of continue to settle in, and is there like a camaraderie and a competitiveness amongst you guys? Obviously y'all want to play.
Yeah, we all want to play, and we have a lot of good players, and that's a good thing. So it's hard. You know, you got to get settled in. So I kind of take it like, you know, high school. You're not playing every single day. You're playing 4 or 5 times a day. I try to track bullpens, just try to do anything I can to stay fresh. With my swing and approach, you know, work a lot in the cage. Mm-hmm. You know, just try to stay prepared, whether that's to start, to pinch hit, to double switch, you know, just do whatever I can to come in and help the team win. And because, you know, that's the most important thing right now.
And looking forward here, you know, we talked about the offense a little bit, but is the feeling in the clubhouse, you know, still confident despite a couple losses here, a couple losses there? Mm-hmm. Do you still feel like this team will be there in October, you know, playing in the playoffs?
Yeah, definitely. We have a great group of guys. You know, no one's really worried. You know, we haven't swung the bats well yet, but it's a long season. You know, it's very early right now, and if you come to me in July or August and it's still going on, then yeah, that'll be a concern. But you know, I think we're going to get guys going here soon, and you know, we just got to play and have fun and, you know, play as a team.
David, one final thing before we close out this segment of the On the Rocks podcast. From Alabama, what do you like about Denver? What do you like about living here? Any favorite mm-hmm. joints you like to go to?
I mean, I love Denver. It's a very nice city, very clean city. I like walking around out there, and you know, we live, you know, right kind of downtown, close to the field. So I love the field, love the fans. I love everything about it.
David, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate
All right, thank
it.
Thank you.
Again, folks, this is the On Rocks podcast, and be sure to listen in next week. We'll have another interview and more analysis of the Rockies. It's been sports writer Kyle Newman alongside David Dahl.
And welcome back to this third and final segment of the On the Rocks podcast. I'm Patrick Saunders, Rockies beat writer for the Denver Post. Thanks again to David Dahl for sitting down with my colleague Kyle Newman to talk about the Rockies offense and also to discuss his long and arduous journey to the majors. Those of you who've watched David Dahl certainly know that he's a bright young talent, and he stays healthy. I think he's got a terrific future. He's just one of those ballplayers who's fun to watch. So best of luck to David Dahl. In this third segment, we're going to do what I call Rockies Hit and Run. This is my quick take on 10 hot topics about Rockies baseball. So let's go. Number 10, Ian Desmond. We all know he's in a horrid slump. Heading into Thursday's game at San Francisco, Ian is hitting 171, an on-base percentage of 213. If there's a silver lining, I guess it's this. He does have 6 home runs and 17 RBIs. But considering he's being paid $22 million this year, considering the Rockies gave him a 5-year, $70 million deal, he's been a major disappointment. However, I've had a lot of fans on Twitter ask me or suggest that Desmond's problem is a lack of effort. I get this frequently, the notion that Ian doesn't care or isn't trying hard enough. And let me just say this right now, that's preposterous. If anything, Desmond's pressing too hard right now. You can question his productivity, the Rockies' decision to sign into a long-term deal, but you can't question his effort. I'm curious as to why some fans think that. Maybe it's because Ian doesn't show a ton of emotion out on the field, but I can guarantee you he's putting in everything he can. I just hope he turns it around sooner rather than later. Topic number 9, what do the Rockies do if DJ LeMahieu is out for an extended period of time with that thumb injury? We don't know how serious the thumb is yet, but DJ did consult a hand specialist on Wednesday. That's not good news. We'll see, but I wouldn't be shocked to see DJ out for an extended period of time, certainly longer than the 10-day DL. So what do the Rockies do? They have some youngsters there they can play right now. Daniel Castro is doing, he's doing okay. But it wouldn't surprise me if the solution is to bring up Ryan McMahon from AAA. Ryan didn't play particularly well, at least not hit very well, when his first stint with the Rockies. Send down to AAA, Albuquerque. Now he's starting to clean up down there. I think it's a wise move to give Ryan another shot. He could spell Ian at first base, and he could also play second base when needed if Daniel Castro is slumping. So I could see Ryan McMahon coming up very soon. Number 8, will Adam Ottavino, the right-hand reliever, make the All-Star team? I've had a bunch of people ask me this already, and I'll say this, he certainly deserves it. The All-Star game shouldn't be just for closers. If somebody's been as tremendous as Adam Ottavino has been, they certainly deserve a chance. Let's just look at his remarkable start to the season. 1.17 ERA, 0.65 WHIP, 41 Ks versus just 9 walks. Buddy Black's very good friend is Dave Roberts, of course, the manager of the Dodgers, who will be managing the NL All-Star team in Washington in mid-July. And I would imagine Bud Black will get his good friend to find a way to get Adam Ottavino on his first All-Star team. So I hope Mr. Automatic makes it. And also, in case you weren't aware, this is Adam Ottavino's contract year. He becomes a free agent at the end of this year. Good for Adam. I mean, he might just get a really handsome payday, be it with the Rockies or somebody else. So terrific, terrific guy, very cerebral pitcher, always terrific with the media. So I'm very happy for Adam Ottavino. Hope to see him in the Midsummer Classic. Number 7, should the Rockies have re-signed first baseman Mark Reynolds when they had the chance in the offseason? I said yes then, and I can't help but think the team might be regretting the decision not to sign him now. I don't know that for a fact, but you got to think the way Ian Desmond is playing and what Mark Reynolds gave the team last year, 97 RBIs, 30 home runs. Actually, I think it was 100 RBIs. He certainly could have helped the team this year. Reynolds is now up from AAA and is in his first game with the Nationals. He went 3-for-4 with 2 home runs, 2 runs scored, and 3 RBIs, and the Nationals win over the Diamondbacks on Sunday. I'm not saying Mark Reynolds would shift the entire fortunes of the Rockies' offense, but, he wanted to come back here, and I know a lot of teammates wanted him. It's still a little bit of a head-scratcher to me that a deal could not have been worked out. Number six, just how bad is this offense right now? Well, I guess I could say pretty bad. I guess I could say very bad. 229 team batting average, 12th in the National League. 0.305 on-base percentage, also 12th in the NL. And a 222 average with runners in scoring position, which ranks 14th in the National League. You know, all this would not be quite so disconcerting if the Rockies, one, didn't play their home games at Coors Field, and two, doesn't have a tradition of being such a good offense. This is really maddening right now. Well, I tell you what, they need to get this turned around fast. So that's my next question. Number five, hot take number five, what can be done about the offense? Listen, I'm not a hitting coach. I'm not even sure hitting coaches have that much impact at this level of baseball. But from my vantage point, I think they need to cut down on all the big swings. They need to show some more patience. They have to concentrate on some team offense rather than just the long ball. And I don't think I'm out of line to say all that. I think Buddy Black, Nolan Arenado have both said the same thing. This offense right now lacks discipline. I think they're just kind of foundering out there. That's got to change. Question number four, hot topic number four. Was it embarrassing for the Rockies to almost get no hit, almost get perfectoed by the Padres' Jordan Lyles on Tuesday? I'm not sure embarrassing is the right word. Yes, Lyles was a washout here in Colorado and wasn't particularly good with the Padres last year. But you got to hand it to him. He had great stuff on Tuesday. That fastball was terrific early. The big breaking curveball mesmerized the Rockies later. So like I say, you have to tip your cap to Jordan Lyles. But here's the thing. The fact that he needed only 85 pitches to get into the eighth inning tells you how out of sync the Rockies' offense is right now. There's no way Jordan Lyles, good stuff or not, should only need 85 pitches going into the eighth inning. That tells you the Rockies are just not a very focused offense right now. Hot topic number three, about a quarter of the way into the season, who's been the Rockies' best position player? And I'm going to go with Nolan Arenado. He's batting .317. He has a .407 on-base percentage, a .983 OPS. Sure, he hasn't hit as many home runs as he would like, but those will come in time if he gets more pitches to hit. You got to remember, teams are pitching around Nolan because they're not afraid or not very afraid of what comes after him. So hopefully, if the bottom half of the order can get its act in gear, Nolan will get more pitches to hit and his home run totals will start to climb. But that .407 on base percentage is nice to see. It shows what a mature hitter Nolan Arenado is becoming. Number two, who's been the Rockies' best starter? It has to be Chad Bettis, or as I like to call him, Chadwick Reginald Bettis III. He's the thinking man's pitcher. He's not a flamethrower, which makes him a bit of an aberration in this day and age, but he has a 4-1 record and a 3.12 ERA heading into his start Thursday night in the City by the Bay. You know, it's great to see Chad basically remake himself as a pitcher. A terrific fastball, but not an overpowering fastball. But he does have movement, and he's got that changeup working really, really well. It's just such a great story. Wednesday, by the way, marked Chad's one-year anniversary of being cancer-free. That is about as cool a story as you're going to find in sports. So congrats to Chadwick Reginald Bettis III. And number one, who has been the Rockies' best reliever? And it's got to be Automatic Otto. Ottavino has been almost untouchable. We already talked about the numbers. You know, I guess Wade Davis is a close second, or certainly second place. He's getting the job done. He's closing games as he should. But what Adam Ottavino is doing right now is just remarkable. So that's my Rockies hit and run for this week. Thanks again to Kyle Newman and David Dahl for the earlier segment of this podcast. And be sure to join me and Kyle next week for another episode of the On the Rocks podcast. I'm Patrick Saunders, Rockies beat writer for the Denver Post. Mm-hmm.